A very good morning to all of you. Well, it brings me great pleasure and also honor to be here to share with you the word of the Lord. Before I do so, let me just share a little bit about myself. My name is Don. I came from quite a well-to-do family, middle class, and so at the age of 13 years old, during the hippies culture, I get involved with drugs, also get involved with gang. And so by the age of 16, I was caught for rioting. And I was placed under police supervision for 2 years. And so there's a curfew time for me to stay at home from 7 p.m. to the next morning, 7 a.m. And so staying at home is quite boring. And so, because I was involved in drugs, I even was heavily hooked on drugs during that time. And so, one day when I was reporting my probation, they took my urine and it was found positive. And that day, well, they caught me and placed me into the drug center, which is also the prison. And so my parents, they all came to visit me. They cried. And I lift up my hand, I swear, I told them that I would not take drugs again. But I was released at 1 p.m. after 6 months. 3 p.m. I was back to drugs again. And this went on. The second time when I was caught, I was placed for 2 years, sentenced to 2 years. And so I served a total of 9 times imprisonment and serving a total of 12 years. I find ways and means to quit my drug habit and also get out of from the gang. But it seems like I couldn't get out from this bondage. And so the last times I came to know Jesus from the prison and God began to set me free, I began to know the truth and also the purpose of life. And so to cut the story short, that was in 1993, 23 years ago, the last time when I came out. And God began to change my life. God began to give me a burden to help these ex-offenders. And so once again, I thank God for his grace and his mercy, because without the mercy of God, I don't think I'll be able to stand here. Because I not only consume drugs, but I also traffic drugs. And all of you all know that 15 grams, you will be hanged. And so sometimes I'll be in the at the street or at some places holding like 1 pound of drugs and distributing drugs all over. And so I thank God for his mercy. And God saved me for a purpose. And right now, God has used my life by his grace to start a new charis mission and helping all these ex-offenders. Well, in the world today that we are living, knowledge and information are very important. Yeah, okay. I think I got a very loud voice, right? That's why it's echoing. As I say, in the world today, knowledge and information are very important. People want to hear firsthand information, reliable information, and they want to know where the information comes from. Who is the source? They want to know it comes from a source that is reliable, especially in the stock market. If it is reliable, come from a reliable source, they are willing to put their saving, even borrow money to buy shares. And so in life, in order to be prosper, in order to prosper and be successful, we need to know the source of life. We also need also to have the source of life, and that is God. In Genesis chapter 32, verse 2, it says, "The Lord was with Moses so that he prospered. He lived in the house of the Egyptian master." So Joseph's life prospered because the Lord is with him. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 9, it says, "Carefully follow the term of this covenant so that you may prosper in everything that you do." And so here we can see that we need to carefully follow the covenant that God has said and stated in the Bible. In Job chapter 22, verse 21, it says, submit to God and be at peace with him. In this way, prosperity will come to you. In Job 36, verse 11, it says, if you obey and serve him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and their years in contentment. Today I entitle my message, To Prosper and Be Fruitful. As a Christian, if you want your life to be blessed by God and that God can use you as a blessing to others, then you need to know who is the source of life. You need to hear from him and have him in your life so that your life can be prosper. So that your life can prosper and God can use you to be a blessing to others. So as we read the text just now from John chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 3, I want you all to look at verse 6. He said that he asked this only to test him. Jesus asked Philip about feeding the 5,000. And so the Bible stated Jesus knew what he's going to do. And so Jesus asked just to test him. And in verse 9, then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke out. He said, here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two fish. And they surrender, they give it to the Lord, and we know the rest of the story. Jesus took the two fish and the five loaves of bread, and Jesus gave thanks to God. Jesus prayed. And so the entire miracle happened because of what Jesus did. Jesus spoke, Jesus prayed, Jesus distribute the two fish and the five loaves. And all the disciples need to do is to listen and obey. On that day, 5,000 people were fed. So as we read verse 6, Philip, the disciple, that, you know, he heard the word of God, Jesus said about feeding the 5,000. But here, Philip heard the word of God, but Philip don't have that deep understanding, or I should say, don't have the revelation that it is God who wants to feed the 5,000. He's thinking that God is asking him to feed the 5,000. And that is where Philip said that, you know, 8 months of wages couldn't even give everyone a bite. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul prayed that, I keep praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So in this passage, who is the one who wants to feed the 5,000? Definitely it is God, because Jesus asked the question. And when Philip received the word from God, Philip was thinking, because Philip don't have that revelation, because verse 6 said that Jesus asked just to test him, because Jesus already knew. And so if Philip knew what Jesus was talking about or had the revelation of the word of God, then the answer or question that Philip answered to Jesus will not be about 8 months of wages. Philip will say that, how do you want us to do it? Because if God is the one who wants to feed the 5,000, then there shouldn't be any problem. Because in the Old Testament, God fed 3 million people. And so it is important that you and I, wherever we are, that when we hear the word of God or when we read the word of God, and especially before we start any ministry, we need to have a deeper understanding of the word of God. We need to hear from God. And so my first point is that to prosper and be fruitful, we need to hear from God. What is God calling upon your life and what God wants you to do? Because you may be serving God full-time, but not serving your calling. Or you can be in a position or in the ministry, but you are not where God wants you to be. Everything we do, God must be the one who called the shot. First and foremost, we need to hear from God because life is full of uncertainties. And there are so many needs out there that we need to meet. And we need faith to pursue and to fulfill what God has for you and me. And we know that faith comes from hearing. Hearing comes from the Word of God. And that is very important for you and me to hear from God. In our ministry, we always say that we will not move by what we see or what we hear. We only move when God says so. We are here not just to do good thing or the right thing, but we are here to do the God thing. And that is where it's so important. In order for us to fulfill the Great Commission, we need to hear what God is saying. We need to know that the word comes from God. I've been in the ministry for the past 23 years, started the High Point, and I also serve as a pastor in Community of Praise Baptist Church, ordained in that church. And in 1995, we started the High Point. And there, forgive me because my throat, never mind, thanks. Thank you. In 1995, we started the High Point, and in 2006, we started the New Caris Mission. And I asked God, there are so many halfway houses, God. Why want to start another halfway house? God said, this one is going to be different. Because one of the components that is missing in the halfway house is discipleship. And God said, I want you to concentrate and focus on discipleship. I don't want you just to get them out from gang, help them to quit their drugs. I want you to train them, equip them, and send them back to the prison as counselor, send them to the school as mentor. And so, but when I hear the word of God, looking at the situation, I was asking myself, how possible this can be? Because I'm a former drug addict myself, it is so difficult to quit. In fact, it is impossible without God. And so I was asking myself and asking God, God, how possible this can be? And so when I spent my time with the Lord began to reveal to me in the book of Ezekiel about the dry bones, the valley of the dry bones. And as you know the passage, God asked Ezekiel, can these dry bones be alive? And Ezekiel said, God, if you want them to be alive, definitely they can become alive. And God said, you prophesy, speak my words. And so likewise, God told me and said, you go to the prison, speak to the prisoners, and ask them to give their life to me so that, you know, I will change them, I will transform them so that they will be my messenger. And so I went to the prison. But when I went to the prison, as I look at all these guys, you look at their face. And so when I look at their face during counseling, some of them you can see all the way to that is Robin, the worship leader. And then the drama. And so I said, how possible this can be? But as God spoke to me about the dry bones, I began to tell them, I say, guys, when you come out, walk with God, give your life to the Lord. And God, you know, will bring you back to the prison. But when you come back to the prison, you won't come back as a prisoner. You will come back as a messenger of God, as a counselor. True enough, after 3 to 4 years, when they came out from prison, they came and joined the New Caris Mission. God began to change their life. God began to, you know, set their life free. And so right now, as you can see, that their life is so changed that you can't even tell. Amen. Because if I don't tell you their background, you won't be able to tell. Because the power of God, when God changed your life, God changed your life beyond what other can imagine. And if you look back, this guy, he looked like a zombie, right? But right now you see his life. He's married and with two children. And right now he's serving full-time. He has been with me for the past 17 years. And so even the government right now call them the ambassadors of hope. And this is amazing because God not only changed their life, God began to also bless their life. You can see that, you know, many of them, they're married. I have some picture, I think it didn't come out. They're married, and some of their wives are graduate. And sometimes I wonder, are these sisters blind or what? You know, these guys are full of tattoo, all the background, but I think these sisters are very wise. Because a man can stay faithful, love God and stay faithful to God that he cannot see, this type of man can be trusted. Right? That's why my wife also chose me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. And so God began to, you know, send us, as I disciple them, begin to, you know, we begin to upgrade ourselves. And you can see the picture, Johnny. This is Johnny. Johnny is sitting right in front. He came to the ministry only having primary 6 education. Right now, he have a diploma in psychological counseling. He is a certified behavioral consultant. And next year, Robin, will be doing a degree in psychology counseling. Counseling in psychology. And so, to men, it is impossible, but to God, all things are possible. As long as we hear the word of God, God is able to do the impossible thing. Every time when there's you problem, you will see, you know, either Robin, Johnny, or some of our guys will be, you know, called by the media to go for some live talks about how to help the you. And so I'm just going to show you some picture. And here also we attended and we were awarded as the outstanding social entrepreneurship because we helped the ex-offenders. And when God changed, you can't tell. All these are ex-offenders. They are murderer, drug trafficker, except the one at the center. You look properly. He's not an ex-offender, don't mistaken, you know. He's our minister, Lawrence Wong, okay? But when they stand together, you can't tell, okay? And so here is our minister, and you can see that God have, you know, and this is our minister of defense. And we also have received an award from our prime minister himself. And also right now, we have likewise, okay, all of them are ex-offenders except the two that standing center. There's our president, Mr. and Mrs. Tony Tan. And so when God speak, or when God spoke to you about something, all we need to do is to have faith and obey God. And that's what I did. And today you can see the dry bones become oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Let us give all the glory to God. Amen. And so many of them, you know, they call themselves ex-offenders. I would rather call them trophies of grace. We are all the trophies of his amazing grace. So first point is that we need to hear from God. And second, we need to surrender to the Lord. In verse 9, it says, here's the boy with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. And so when they surrender to God, then when it reached the hands of God, that is where miracle is going to happen. When God spoke to Moses, God asked Moses, what is in your hand? And Moses said, it is, you know, the staff. And God said, throw it on the floor. He threw it on the floor, miracle happened. All we need to do is that, you know, whatever we have, are we willing to surrender to God? It is not how much that we can do. It's how much you're willing to surrender. And so we talk about we need to surrender our time to pray. Prayer must be the foundation of your life and of the ministry. Because it is so important, because prayer is our powerhouse. When we want to go out and reach out to people, we need the power of God, we need the wisdom of God, so that through our life, God can use us to be a blessing to the community. In fact, in history, there's no revival ever found, without the foundation of prayer. So we need to pray. But the sad thing is that every time when the church calls for prayer meeting, very few people turn up, right? And so, you know, as a pastor, right, sometimes, you know, we are so grateful that people turn up. And one day I saw a sister. He had never been to never see her before during a prayer meeting. And so I saw her. I was so happy. I went over there and said, "So good, you know, so I'm so glad that you came." You know what her answer? Her answer said, "Pastor, today I got nothing to do. That's why I come and pray." My goodness, you know. It is not when you are free, got nothing to do, then you start to pray. You need to pray. Because, you know, prayer is power. Prayer is how you communicate to God. And prayer will also build your relationship stronger with the Lord. And second, we need to surrender your money to build. Right? Because when you want to reach out to the poor, you need money. And to feed the poor and to help them in various needs. And so, God is, you know, by the way, can I ask your question? Does God need our money? God don't need your money, then why God asks us to give? Because in Corinthians, he said that, you know, when we give generously, we will reap generously. When we give, the more we give, the more seed that God will give us to sow. And that is where, if money become our master, then it hinder a lot of things. It hinder the extension of the kingdom of God. Sometimes money can be a curse in your life. And so God wants us, you know, it's not, you know, to allow or to let money be our master, but rather master your money. That, you know, you are willing to give for good purpose. Give to God to extend the kingdom of God. Give, you know, to help the poor. And so, God don't look at how much you give, but rather the attitude of giving. The attitude of giving. Like today, just now offering time, usually it's from the front to the back, right? And so there's one guy, you know, he always sit right at the back. And so during offering time, wow, he's an expert. And so he will put his hand into his pocket and touch the note here and there, and he knows which note to bring out. Okay? And so, but that day, the chief usher was on MC. And so, then the other guy took over. They took the offering from the back to the front. And this guy, you know, he saw the usher coming with the bag. He was so what we call kanchong, you know. Wow, he put his hand inside and he was trying to figure which note. But the bag already reached. And so, what he do? He don't want to bring it out because he don't want people to know how much he give. And so he just took a note and put inside the offering bag. My goodness, after that, he couldn't even concentrate what the pastor is preaching. In his mind, he kept thinking, did I give a wrong note? Did I give the wrong note? Up to the extent he couldn't even sit still, he went to the toilet. And then he checked it out. Whoa, true enough that he gave the wrong note. And so my brothers and sisters, sometimes if you are, it becomes a routine that, you know, during offering time, it's like tipping God. Oh, we just take a note. God don't need us to tip. God need us to give. And the Bible said in Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, it said, each one of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly, for God loves a cheerful giver. For God loves a cheerful giver. And so, when we give, we must prepare ourselves to give. Third, we need to surrender our time. Oh, by the way, you know, later I will share with you this big place that God has given us. And before we ask people to give, we ourselves, only 40 plus of us, 43 I think, and 20, half of it, half of the brothers are in the program, so they don't have salary, they don't have allowances. They only have like $15 a day, and sometimes they go for removal, people give them some tips. And when I was sharing, I asked them to pledge. And so they, you know, give them note. I say, this 3 months, let us sow into the kingdom of God. Let us put the seed, you know, and build this ministry, because we already have that place. And it costs us maybe $1.2 million to renovate the place. So later I will show you. And true enough, when we send the paper, when we distribute the paper, everyone took the paper and write down their pledge. And so it came back. We calculated. In my heart, I thought that maybe 8,000, 10,000, just the seed money. Our staff, we calculated, it was like 52,000. And I say, hey, I asked my leader, I said, do they really understand about pledging or not? No? It's not about writing on the note, you know, you must pay one, you know. And so writing on the note is easy, you know, but paying is sometimes not easy, you know. But praise God, you know, after that I talked to them, they still say, yeah, we understand. And the pledges was 52, but when we collected 53,000 plus. And I believe that the brother there sowed the seed, and afterward I'm going to show you the promised land that God had given us. So the third thing is to surrender your life to serve. God has transformed our life, and also had given us the opportunity to serve. As you can see, I'm going to just show you some of the picture. You see here, we reach out to the at-risk student in the school. And also, we talk to parents, giving talks about how to engage the 21st century youth. And we talk to, during assembly time, we talk about awareness of drug, gang, and bully. And also, we reach out to the elderly. This is the day tour. It's an annual thing that we go and bring the elderly to various places. And also, here you can see they enjoy themselves. And the corner picture, as you see, some of them, they went to Orchard Road to see the lighting. And most of them are on wheelchair. It is very inconvenient. But I tell you, many of them, they never been to Orchard Road. And they never saw the lighting. Even though it is inconvenient. But when you see the smile on the face of all these elderly, it's worth doing it. Because the joy that you can bring to the elderly. And we also have festive season that we are, you know, all the festive celebration, Deepavali, we will celebrate with them together. And also house visitation. We also have monthly free haircut for the elderly. And this is what I want to share with all of you. And one day, you know, when you go to visit the elderly, some of them, they don't even have chairs for you to sit. And so one of the elderly, I went to visit her, I was sitting on her bed, and I couldn't sit still. It's not that, you know, the bed is not comfortable, but the bed bug is enjoying themselves. And that's why I couldn't sit still. And I stand up, I lift up the mattress, one whole row of bed bugs. And I came back, told my staff, you know, when this type of thing, when you happen to see this type of thing, and with the love of God, you just can't sit still and do nothing. And God began to burden our hearts to go in and help. I want to show you some of the condition that the elderly live. These are some of the conditions. These are all real alive cockroaches. And so we go in, because we do removal. Right now, Singaporeans are quite rich. You know, sometimes the things that they give us, the second-hand furniture, all are good condition. We keep it and refurbish their home. We went in, we paint the house, we change everything. Within 8 hours, we go in, and this is what we have done. We clean the house, paint the house, we change all the furniture. But these are secondhand furniture. This is the house that just now you saw that with cockroaches. By the way, you know, every month, every week, we will renovate a house. All those ladies, sister, you want to join us, don't worry. We will choose a unit that don't have cockroaches one for you all, okay? So you don't have to worry. And so right now, we already done a total of like 102. But last year, yeah, praise God. Last year, a brother came to me, a businessman, he said, why don't we do something for these elderly? Instead of just giving them second-hand furniture, why don't we ask a designer to design, because it's just one-room flat, to design something, and we provide new furniture. And so that we started last year, this year, January, 23rd January, we launched this project, Heart of Love. It is a... This house are designed, professionally designed, and furbished with new furniture. And so this year, we want to do 50 units. And right now, we have accomplished like 30 over units already. And so next year, we will continue to do. And next year, we are going to do another 50 units. And so my brothers and sisters, it's not how much you give, but rather how much love we put into giving. It's not how much that we do, but how much love we put into doing. And I believe that, you know, not many of us can do great things, but all of us can do small things, right? Small little things, visit the elderly. You know. But when we do small things, let's do it in a great way. That will impact the life of the elderly. And this is where, that, you know, right now, the whole ministry, our brothers not only being transformed by God, they are oaks of righteousness, planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. We went out and we contribute back to society. The third thing is that we need to stay faithful to God. In order for your ministry, in order for you to see the fulfillment of the word of God, you need to stay faithful. You need to stay faithful to God. It takes faith to start a journey, but it takes faithfulness to fulfill the vision of God. And so, as you can see, that in Luke chapter 9, verse 16, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks to God, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciple to distribute to the people. And so I want to ask a question. How did the miracle happen? In the Old Testament, God sent manna from heaven. And so to feed the 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, how did that miracle happen? Did God send fishes or fish from and also bread from heaven? No. Thou here stated very clearly. Can I also use this? Because I really don't feel comfortable, man. I always I love to, you know, just walk around, talk to you all. I feel more relaxed. And so when I are you going to record them? Did God send fish and bread from heaven? But this verse said that God, you know, Jesus actually, what happened is this. That Jesus took the bread, the 2 fish, Jesus gave thanks, broke it, and then the disciples, and Jesus gave each one a little bit. And then Jesus said, go and feed the 5,000. All the disciples have was that little bit, but they have faith and they obey what God said. And so they took that, and they go, because 5,000, they break into 50s, a group of 50. And so each one of them, when they go to one group, they must have faith in the word of God, because it's not the things that in your hand, it's the word of God that said, go and feed. And so what is in their hand, they believe that, you know, whatever they have, obeying the word of God, they will see miracle. And that is where with the little, they go. And I believe that that's what miracle happened. When you take a step of faith, hearing the word of God, obey the word of God, you will see miracle. And so that's what happened. And on that day, 5,000 people were fed. And this is something that all of us need to learn. That you must be faithful with little things in order for God to give you more. And faithfulness, staying faithful in the word of God, you will be able to experience the power of the word of God. And so when God started the new Charis mission, we started not even in a house, we started at the beach. And so, to cut the story short, 8 years, but right now we are 10 years already, 8 years we moved to 8 locations. And many times, even you have money, the owner, they don't want to rent their place to you because of the nature of our work. And so, but God never failed us. God, every time, never one time, sometimes we think it's late already or we need the answer. But God is never too late. Always there to provide us. And one time we don't even have a place at the very last hour. But God is able to do miracle. And we have been, you know, moving. And so in 2009, God began to give me a vision of a community hub. So I began to draw up the square, everything, put youth ministry, elderly ministry, as you can see, football and soccer and basketball court. And I began to pray. After 1 year, nothing happened. After 2 years, nothing happened. But I know that this vision is from God. If God is the source, God will provide the resources. All we need to do is to stay faithful in the word of God, not looking around. If I'm going to look around, I won't be able to see the fulfillment of the word of God. Because as we journey, it's not that we are moving to a bigger place. In fact, the last place that we go, it is not even a house. We have to stay 3 months in Salvation Retreat Center. We don't even have a permanent place. But because the word of God, and I know it's from the Lord, I begin to really pray and my staff. And true enough, 2 years, maybe after 3 months, we got a call. To cut the story short, we got a call from Minister Tan's office because we wanted the place, the old ITE, Geylang ITE, at this Jalan Eunos there. And so Minister heard about our proposal, asked us to go in and to present our proposal. And so after that, he began to champion for us. When we have the news, that is where we gather our brothers, say, let's sow the seed. And that is where we give like 53,000, you know, as a seed money. And we were praying that this place is going to be a wild place. A place where people come, they are able to see the glory of God. They are able to sense the presence of God. But true enough, when we see the place, it was really a wild place. It's not the type of exciting wild, but rather wild, where to get money to renovate. Because we only have 23,000 in the bank, and 3 quotations, the lease was 1.27. But if the source is from God, if this is from God, God will provide. And true enough, God just sent one person. And that guy, he talked to us and he said, Pastor, can I help you? I only met him one time. And he couldn't sleep. Every time when he prayed, my name came into his mind. And so he asked my friend to make an appointment. He came and said, after talking to me about schoolwork, he said, Pastor, can I help you in your renovation? I said, sure. I thought he was going to give us money. And he said, no, can you come to my office? You know, I bring you. And because his office, he furnished his office with all the chair, everything. He brought it from China. He said it will help you to save 60%. And to cut the story short, Johnny, myself, Robin, we went to China and we bring 5 containers back. And this is how the whole ministry looks like right now. This is the front portion. You can see the carpet, artificial carpet, grass, everything we bought from China. And so you see that even this dormitory, yes, even the wardrobe, this is the wardrobe. In Singapore, $600 over. We went to Malaysia, 500 plus. We went to China, 148 only. And so, and this is our place. We turn it into a dining area. All these chairs, when we have the quotation, wooden chair, it costs us more than $100. But this one is, you know, like marble and stainless steel, it costs us less than $100. And so, our kitchen, the three-door fridge, it costs less than $1,000. And so, this is our backyard. And this is our lunch. And this is our recreation area. And we got a worship hall, and we call it multi-purpose hall, because some of the, they have conference there. And right now, it can accommodate 200 people. And so we have another wing where we have, we furnish it. It's for youth retreat center. And many of the churches right now, like December, school holiday, many of the youth rented our place for their youth camp. Right now, the whole place, we call this our promised land. We call this place our promised land. As you can see, the bird's eye view, you can see that, you know, it looked like that. And right now, compared to the vision that God had given us, the whiteboard, right? The whiteboard vision become a reality. I don't know what happened, okay? The whiteboard vision become a reality. And this is where God, you know, is so good. That God, when you are faithful with little things, more will be given to you. And so right now, even the Bible, you know, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, also changed our belief, or we come to an understanding of that verse. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, heaven and earth created by God, the rest all make in China. And so we really believe that right now. The rest all make in China. And you're free, come and visit us. And you see, when you are faithful with little things, you can see that from the beach to the promised land, helping a small boy to reaching out to thousands. From a void deck to the project Heart of Love. From the shore of Singapore to the lands, to the land of many nations. It takes faith to start a journey, but it takes faithfulness to see the fulfillments of God's promise. And that is where it is so important for you and me to stay faithful to God. Stay faithful to God, and He will make your life and your ministry fruitful. Two F, faithful and fruitful. And so let's recap. To prosper and be fruitful, first of all, we need to hear from God. And second, we need to surrender to God. And third, we need to stay faithful to God. I invite the worship team to come up. Let's stand on our feet right now. You know, I believe that the presence of God is here because the Bible says that two or three gather together, God is in our midst. You know, our life change is not because the government have its way, a program can change us. I find many ways to change myself, but each time, you know, I thought that I can change, but yet I went back to the prison. Just one day, I was sitting at the corner, and the preacher began to preach the word of God, which I hear so many times about how much God loves you and me. But sometimes when we are at a situation, in a place, when our heart is prepared, just one word from heaven, your life will never be the same. Just one word from heaven, your situation will change. Because that word will bring faith in your life to do the impossible, or to encourage you once again to have faith in God. Because our God is a God of Romans 8:28. That He will take all things and make it for good for you and me. And our God is also a God. He said that in His time, He will make everything beautiful. Today, I want to challenge and I want to speak to all the brothers and sisters. Wherever you are, whatever situation that you may face, stay faithful to the word of God. Because if Jesus is in the midst of your problem, you can be sure that God will lead you over to the other side. No storm, no wave can capsize the boat, because God is with you and He's always for you, never against you. And that is where you need to have faith in the word of God. And today, I believe that God is speaking to many of us. And so right now, why don't we close our eyes right now? All eyes closed right now. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when God speaks to the two blind men that follow Jesus, and when God speaks to them, God said that, "What do you want me to do for you?" Today, I sense that God also is speaking to some of you. Whatever, wherever you are, whatever problem you have, or your health, God is saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the two blind men say, "God, we want to receive our sight." And the second question that God is going to ask you is that, "Do you believe I can do it?" Many of us, we pray to God, we ask from God, but do you believe that God is able to do it? And the Bible says, only you believe. If only you believe, then all things are possible. Today, my brothers and sisters, whether your family problem, business problem, God is here for you. And God is asking, will you cast all your anxiety upon me so that you know I can help you? With all our eyes closed right now, some of you, you just need to hear from God. We have heard so many voices, but today, when we hear from God, then we are able to have the faith to obey. So some of you may say that, "I really want to hear from God. I want to start to read the word of God." Maybe some of you, right now, God is speaking to you that you need to surrender. Surrender your time instead of just watching television and doing things in your computer. You need to set aside time to pray. Pray for yourself, pray for your family, because God is ever ready to bless you, to guide you, to lead you into His purpose. But we need to set time. We need to get our heart right with God. And many of us, you may say that right now, just like myself, when I give my life to God, I say, "God, I'm not educated. I have my N-level in the prison. I don't have any skill. All my skill, all my activities, illegal activities like loan shark, you know, a horse syndicate. But I say, God, this new life, if it can glorify your name, I surrender it to you." God is asking the same thing. Will you give your life so that I can use your life to be a blessing to other people? To be a blessing to other people. So with all our eyes closed right now, deep in your heart, if these are the areas that you know God is knocking at your heart and your heart is crying out to God, with all our eyes closed, by the count of three, I just want you to lift up your hand so that I can pray for you. So ready? Between you and God today, if you want to hear from the Lord, you want to give it to God, and you say, "God, here I am. Show me where I can serve you, where I can be a blessing." So ready? 1, 2, 3. Lift up your hand. I see so many hands. Thank you. I see so many. Just leave it high for God to see. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I see, Lord, all the uncles and aunties right now. I want to pray for you. Father, with all the experience of life, Lord, I pray, God, that you will give them the anointing. That, Father, I pray, God, that you will bless their heart, Lord. They will have the heart of the Father, of a Father, Lord, that will cry out to the lost children, God. that God, you give them the gift of intercession, that they were able to stand before, to stand in the gap, Lord, looking to you, crying out to you for the losses out there. Father, I also see all the youth, the young adult, God, I ask that you bless them. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray, God, all those who raise their hands, Lord, all those who are parents, God, I pray, God, for the anointing of a leadership, Lord, upon them, Lord, that they'll be able to lead their children the way of God, Lord, so that the children will grow up, Lord, in their young age to come to know you, God. I pray, God, that you will send your angels to surround them. Father, bless the work of their hands, Lord, so that they will rise up, Father, as giver, as they will rise up, Lord, with their talents, Lord, to extend and expand your kingdom, God. So, Father, in Jesus' name, once again, God, all those who lift up their hands, and also all my brothers and sisters in this sanctuary, I pray, God, that you bless us with good health. I speak the shalom peace upon each one of their life, Lord. Let the shalom peace come upon their life. And right now, Lord, we thank you for your words. Let your word go deep into our hearts, Lord. That every day, God, let us hear from you, Lord. Let us be willing to give, Lord, whether our time, money, or our life to serve you. And Lord, we ask you strengthen our feet as we run this race, that we will be found faithful, Lord. We will be found faithful, God. That as we meet you face to face, you will say to each one of us, my good and faithful servant. So once again, God, I thank you for your presence. We give you all the glory and all the praise, God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all God's people say, amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Outside there is our magazine, our